Next, we're on a series, and if you're keeping track, this is actually message number 10 on the series of the fruit of the Spirit. And if you've missed some of the earlier ones, they're online. You can go back and you can listen on your own in the privacy of your own home, while you're driving, whatever. Whatever works for you. I like to listen to things when I drive. That works out. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. These are all permissible. They're all okay. You can do these things and not get in trouble. Isn't that awesome? And we're going to talk about one of those today. It's called meekness. Now you might say, wait a minute, you didn't say meekness when you read that. And you're correct. I said gentleness. And there is a translation discussion we're going to have about the difference between the two words and what is most accurate. So let's pray and we'll do that. Lord God, thank you for another day with you. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the opportunity to hear your word, to be encouraged, to bear your fruit, because we want to be fruitful people. I pray, God, that your anointing will be upon me to speak your words and that we will all be encouraged as we walk in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. We're striving to understand the best that we can what the original readers understood. And so that is the goal whenever you read the Bible. What did the original reader see? What did they get out of this? How did they realize what was being said? Sometimes we don't get it the way they got it. You know, a real easy example of that is when you hear the story about Jesus referring to the Pharisees and calling them hypocrites. How many know what I'm referring to? The hypocrites discussion. You know, basically they wash the outside, but the inside's all corrupt and dirty. You hypocrites. And then he says that you put oil on your face and you have the trumpeter sound so that you could stand on the corners for everybody to see you. You're a hypocrite. Well, what you may not have known is that the word actually is actor. So the original readers, as they're hearing what's being said through the letter that they're given, they're hearing someone say, you're all just a bunch of actors. You're a bunch of theatrical people. You're paid to do a good show. And you are just like the people at this big Colosseum thing, this amphitheater, and you all put on a good show, a good act. You put the oil on your face to make it look like you're fasting, which is all basically face paint. You know, that's what they would do. They put it on so people say, oh, they must be fasting in this show. And there would be a trumpet that would sound each opening scene. And they would stand in such a way that the whole world could watch. And Jesus didn't call them hypocrites the way we think. He literally says, you're all just a bunch of Hollywood actors getting paid to do a good film. That's what he would have said to us. Kind of cool when you look at the historical context of a word. And so that's why I'm so determined to look to the very foundational understanding. What did the original speaker try to say, and what did the original reader hear? Well, we have a contradiction from one translation to the next, because one will say the word gentleness and the other will say meekness. Which one is better in the words as far as understanding goes? Here's what I got written down. One writer declared that this is a difficult word to translate because it is used in three ways in the Greek. Well, that's a challenge. I mean, if you have a word that's only used one way, it's difficult to translate sometimes. But in this particular situation, the word is used three different ways. I'm glad the English words don't ever have that happen, right? You talk to somebody that's learning English as a second language late in life, and they're going to look at you and say, you guys are nuts. I mean, I just said the word nuts, and it has nothing to do with what you eat, right? And they're trying to translate that. How do you translate you're nuts? Well, you don't. You say you're crazy if there's a word in your word. But that's how we speak. We speak this way, and so the Greek is similar in this instance. It has three different possible meanings. It describes a person that is not extreme. In other words, they're balanced. So when you see this word, it's saying you are balanced. You're not an extreme high or an extreme low. You're kind of right in the middle. You're settled in and balanced. That's cool. There's a second meaning to that same word. It describes a wild horse that has been broken. Now that's fun. How many broke a horse before? One, two, three, four. That's cool. I broke a horse. He tried to roll over on me. It wasn't very funny. You all laughed at me and I feel hurt. You know, when you break a horse and they all stiffen up and you're expecting, here comes the explosion. And I'm ready for it, man. I'm going to ride this Bronco, right? And I'm doing the gentle way, but all of a sudden he just, he's not going. I'm out in the middle of nowhere in a field, and this horse decides he's not going to move one more step. And I'm doing everything I can. I can't get him to move. And I didn't grow up wearing spurs, so I didn't even have that. I just had my good heels. And so I'm thinking, here it comes. I mean, he braced up, and I've had this happen before, and it's going to be that big explosion straight up, and then it's going to be wee-hoo-hoo-hoo, and no. He goes, bump, on his front knees. I'm like, well, this is weird. Bump, on his back. And he rolled. And I'm still in the saddle, because I am stubborn, too. So now I got a horse laying on top of me out in the middle of the field. And I'm like, ah, you stupid horse, get up. So that was my experience. Fun days. So I had to get him up, and I had to get off the saddle, and then he got up and he ran all the way home. Oh, boy. Well, one of the ways to understand this word is that you are a horse that's been broken. However, all of the spunk has been channeled for a purpose, and it's a disciplined, purposeful, broke horse. You can break the spirit of a horse, and then you have nothing but a bag of bones. You know, to put it kind of sadly and bluntly. And it's not good. You don't want to break a horse and break his spirit. Well, this horse has been broken, but he's not broken in his spirit. And that's the word that we're trying to translate here. So it's a gentle horse, right? But it's powerful and able to do amazing things because he still has all his spirit within him. The third understanding is simply the word gentle as we understand gentle. And so I believe that the best understanding of this Greek word is meekness, because it's not just gentleness. It's involving all three of these things. It's a balanced person that has a powerful ability that's channeled in the right direction, and you can still be in a gentle way. Meekness is the best of the three. It's not weakness, by the way. Oftentimes people say the word meekness and reference it automatically to weakness, and you can't be further from the truth. A powerful horse that's been broken, that's channeling his energy for you to do the best he can for you, to ride down that steer, to climb that badland steep hill, to go out and swim that river as you're bringing the cattle home. Whatever it is that horse is able to do as a powerful animal for the rider that's in charge, that's who you are in Christ. And you are powerful, but you're channeled, and you're able to accomplish great things. It's not weakness. It's a strength or a power under control. And that is who God is. Think about it. At the very word of his own voice, this world came into existence. And yet, ironically, when he stood before the accusers, he was like a sheep led to the slaughter and was not speaking out at all. He let himself be crucified. What an amazing strength it took for the God of creation to be silent. That's what meekness is. I challenge you to be meek, to live a balanced life, one who is powerful yet gentle. A disciplined person in the service of God. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus is referring to the disciples and all who would listen. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, if you have a King James, it probably says meek instead of the word gentle, and that is the better option here once again. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I am strong, I am powerful, but I am controlled. We can pull this weight together. Come in with me on this yoke, side by side. We'll do this together. I will get us through the valleys. I will get us through the mud. I will get us through the difficult challenges, the rocks. We will climb this hill. We will do this together because I am meek. I am power under control. And I won't hurt you, I won't harm you, but we'll get this done. Jesus is a great example of meekness. If you look at John chapter 8, this is an illustration of meekness, I think. I think it's one of the better ones that Jesus showed us. John chapter 8, verse 3 through verse 11. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery." Now that's saying a whole lot right there. "In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. That's just funny. I mean, this is intense. This woman is about to die. And by the way, this is something else we learned in Israel. You didn't stone people by just throwing rocks at them. The first thing you did is you took that person to the highest hill, the highest building, the highest point, and you threw them off. And after they hit the ground, then you pile on the rocks and the stones until they're dead. That's how you stone in biblical days. And so here we have a situation where this woman is about to be launched from the highest point to break her body, hopefully in their minds, to kill her. And if it doesn't do the job, they'll pile on the stones until she's dead. This is what they're saying they will do because Moses says we can. Jesus bends down to the ground and begins to write. When they kept on questioning him, nagging him is what I would say, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now, I've heard so many messages about what Jesus wrote on the ground. Come on. Anything you've ever heard is just guesswork. Honestly, I have no idea what Jesus wrote on the ground. As far as I know, he drew an elephant, because elephants are easy to draw. I got a really cool way to do that. I can teach you if you want to know. It's really cool. I don't know what Jesus wrote. Maybe he wrote a verse. Maybe he wrote a command. Maybe he just wrote a doodly stick man. I have no idea. But I do know this. He was meek. He's powerful. He's got the authority. These guys came to him. And they're waiting to hear his response. And he's taking his time. This woman who's caught into sin, this is not even a debate whether she's been caught in sin or not. She has. But what does he do? "Oh, woman, you terrible person." No, he's writing on the ground, taking his time, and then he turns to the guys and says, "Hey, listen, any of you that's never sinned, you can be the first one." And he began to write on the ground again. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, and I find this interesting. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left. Isn't that cool? The people that were a little bit more seasoned recognize, whoa, I get it. I am out of here. I don't have a right to throw a stone. I too am a sinner. And the young ones finally looked around and realized they're the only ones blowing steam and blowing their tops and yelling and whatever they're doing. I just picture young, right? They finally looked around and realized they're the only one left and like, "Oh, fine, I'll leave too. I I guess the old man gone. I guess I'll follow him. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "Neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. But then he says this, "Go now and leave your life of sin." You have a great example here of the meekness of God, one who has the authority to condemn, one who has the authority to judge, one who has the authority to say to the men that wanted to stone her, "Yeah, you're right, that's what the law says, take her out, take care of it." And he doesn't do it because of a gentle spirit that's within him and a meekness that allows grace and mercy to come to the forefront. But then he turns that right around on her and says, "Now listen, I'm forgiving you. I'm not going to condemn you, but you better stop it. No more. Leave your life of sin." The authority and the power of God revealed, along with the gentle spirit that he is. Amazing. Great example of the meekness of God. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter 2, verse 23. This is what I was referring to about the amazing meekness of our Lord expressed in his crucifixion. Verse 23, chapter 2, 1 Peter, it says, "When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." He did not retaliate. He put his hands into his Father's will. The meekness of Christ. Well, there is a meekness that we are also supposed to have in our own life. Turn with me to Psalm 25, verse 9. The meekness of the believer. Psalm 25, verse 9. "He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way." This is an expression of meekness revealed in Psalm 25. He guides the humble or the meek, you may have in your translation, and teaches them his way. Well, that's an amazing statement. The meek can be trusted to walk in the ways of the Lord as he entrusts them with his authority and his power. God has given you the power to walk this life as a child, as a son, as a daughter of the King. He's entrusted you with his authority and the ability to pray and to seek his face and to be able to see the miraculous done. And yet he challenges you to be meek with the authority you're granted. There's a passage in the scriptures that gets a little more in depth when I teach on it, but here's this significant statement most people grab. "Ask anything in my name and it will be done for you." Now, I'm not going to go into the great detail of how that really means the Father's will be done, but understand this. You can pray and see the will of God accomplished. The authority that you have, the power and the strength that comes through you because the indwelling presence of God is there, and yet you are to be a meek person, not a righteous, arrogant, holier-than-thou, raise-your-nose-to-the-world Christian. Come on, this is a great place for an amen. Come on. We are humble. We recognize I am yet just but a sinner saved by grace. I don't deserve the gift of God. I don't deserve this grace. I certainly haven't earned it. And yet the grace of God is here. And so with a humble spirit, a strength, and a meekness within you, you can be kind and gentle to others, even though the power of God is in your veins. That's an amazing reality. It's an awesome thing. Strength under control. Kindness. Meekness. They go hand in hand. In Matthew 5, verse 5, one of the blessed beatitude statements, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We'll probably walk through that someday. It's a great series. Blessed are the meek, the strength and power of God that's controlled and directed in His way and gentle all in one. Blessed are those who are meek because they will inherit the earth. That's a powerful statement right there. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. We can look there if you like. I was going to quote it, but I think I'll just read it with you. Romans chapter 12. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, drum roll, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. In other words, meekness. Meekness. He goes on to describe that we all have different gifts. We have all have different callings. There's many parts to one body. One part is not more important than the other part. If you ever lost or hurt part of your body, you know how important it is when it suddenly hurts or it's gone. So it is with the church, the body of Christ. We are all here together, working together as a well-oiled machine, if you will, for the sake of God. And as we work together for His glory, we have to humble ourselves one to another because we recognize and know that it's only the grace of God that's brought us here at all. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Great words that we need to hear often. James chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Humble yourself. Meekness before God. He will lift you up. He will raise you up. He will provide. He will give you the rewards that you've earned by your sacrifice. Just don't expect Him here and now. Did you know that all the promises of God, as far as the spiritual promises that He gives, can be completely fulfilled within eternity and not at all here on this earth? He can not do anything in the material blessing on earth and still fulfill His promise. It's an amazing God that we serve that will go above and beyond that and bless people even in the material world we live. What a gracious thing He does for each blessing. Hallelujah. It's an amazing thing. This one's going to be good. 1 Peter chapter 3. Some of you may not like it. I might not like it, but it's good. And I'm not picking on anybody, so don't misread what I'm trying to say here. I'm just reading the text, reading the Bible, making a point. 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 4. And I realize this sounds one-sided today, but it's not meant to be. It says here, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husband, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. This is good stuff here, and I'll explain why it's good stuff. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle / meek and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. You want to influence a husband that's not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? You do it with a meek spirit. And I realize it sounds like, whoa. But don't worry. This includes all of us. Because if you jump ahead, we're still in the same chapter. And you go to verse 15. You see the same point being made for all of us when it comes to sharing our faith. Now, there's a special place that's being referred to for wives and husbands about the submission and a gentle spirit, the meekness of God controlled, power under control, all that great stuff. But look at verse 15. In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness / meekness and respect. When you share your faith with the world, whether you're married or not, you had better have a meek spirit when you share your faith. Humble yourself before the Lord. Recognize who you are in Christ. And as you share your faith, you do it with respect. You don't lord it over anyone. Amen? And you don't, I'm just going to use the word because it's used so often. I apologize in advance. You don't want to nag somebody into the kingdom of God. Amen. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You can love them into the kingdom of God. A gentle spirit that is really meekness, it's power under control, can lead someone into the kingdom of God. But a harsh attitude that's driving and forceful will push people away. Whether you're talking about a marriage where it's the husband to the wife or the wife to the husband, or you're talking about simply evangelism in general, sharing your faith, you had better be respectful of the person even if they disagree. Wouldn't it be wonderful if politics was that way right now? I mean, I'm serious. I mean, it's real easy to point the finger at the one side and say, oh, look how hateful and terrible they are. And there's truth to that, but they can point their finger back the other way and say, look how hateful and terrible you are on this side of the discussion. Where is the meekness? You share your faith with someone. They say, I don't like it. I don't get it. I don't believe it. Don't react. Just respect. So you know what? That's fine. I get it. But I love you. And if you're okay with it, I'd like to talk about it again someday. You know, just respect them. Don't drive and force. Galatians 6, verse 1, the last verse I'll read. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Man, that's a great verse. Oh, wow. None of this hard judgment, condemnation stuff. It says, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. That's meekness. Then there's that warning, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. In other words, be wise. Protect your own heart at the same time. A spirit of meekness when restoring a brother or sister in Christ. That's what Jesus did. Woman, where are your accusers? They're gone. Neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. Forgiveness. Meekness. Meekness is true humility. How does meekness look? Well, look what Jesus did, and you'll get a good picture. But here's an example that might help out. You're not too good to do the lowly tasks. That's meekness. However that fits for you. If you're at work, boss says do that. Well, I'm not paid to do that. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe that isn't part of your job description. But a meek spirit would say, yes, sir, no problem. Why would you do that? Well, because of that meek and gentle spirit. And by the way, you're trying to witness to this guy. Meekness is challenging. I mean, you want an example of it? Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. Now, that wasn't an unusual thing. That was a daily thing. That was a three-day thing. Three times a day, not 3 day. That's a long washing. Imagine if your table is 6 inches off the ground and all you have is a dirt floor and you wear sandals everywhere you go. And you just belly up to that table. Well, actually, you don't belly up to it. You foot up to it. Because you cross your feet and you sit with your big, ugly, dirty toes right in your face. And you're reaching for the pickles and you grab a toe. Yeah, yuck. Right? You don't just wash your hands when you eat. You wash your feet too because that's gross. Who wants big, ugly, dirty toes in their food? I don't. So you have someone wash your feet, and usually it's the slave or the servant or somebody. Somebody washes those feet. I mean, if you're good about it, you can wash your own feet. But Jesus says, I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to do a very lowly job that's done every single day at every single meal, and it's usually the servant, and I'm going to show you how to do something for somebody else. That's meekness right there. It wasn't a holy thing. It was a daily chore that needed to be done, and Jesus did it. So I think we can do that. Meekness is modesty. It's confidence but not proud, with a willingness to serve. Meekness is recognizing that God is the judge and the defender. You don't need to react, and you don't need to judge. Don't overreact about every little thing. My goodness, stop that. Right? Come on, show a little meekness. Don't react for everything. Have the confidence to know that God's still king. He still sits on the throne. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and it's going to be okay. Let him handle it. A willing acceptance of a greater will than your own, and a surrender to that will. God's will is more important than your will. You recognize that. That's what meekness is. And I think the best statement of meekness is this: strength under control. Would you stand with me as we close?